Please turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, where we'll be focusing only on verses 18 through 20. Today, of course, we finished the series on the armor of the Christian soldier. While today's message is not strictly another piece of the Christian armor, it is very, very definitely connected to the Christian armor. And that, of course, is prayer. Reading then from Ephesians chapter 6, 18 and 19. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. God bless this portion of His word to our spiritual understanding and nourishment today. Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, usually it's the case that soldiers are known more for their swearing than for their praying. In times of battle and danger, however, we hear that many soldiers do indeed begin to pray, some for the first time. Proof, I suppose, of that familiar statement, there are no atheists in foxholes. That may or may not be true. The Christian soldier, however, as described by Paul, is to be a man of prayer, putting on each piece of armor with prayer. Put on each piece with prayer. That's a phrase from a song, and I just couldn't come by it. What song that's from. It's a familiar song. But anyway, putting each piece on with prayer. Because the Christian soldier knows that God gave him his armor, and that God must help him then in his fight against Satan and sin. And so Paul now concludes his description of the Christian soldier with an urgent call to militant prayer. Urgent prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication of all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now the Christian soldier, you will see here, is called to use all prayer. Praying always with all prayer. What does that mean? Well, that means that there's more than one kind of prayer. Now sadly, some people learn only one or two prayers in their life and just repeat them over and over again. Perhaps before a meal, when they go to bed, or during an emergency, or on some special occasion. I can't judge the sincerity, but it sounds quite rote. And just saying a prayer does not mean that you have learned to pray as a Christian soldier. For the Christian soldier is to use all prayer. Now, too often we think of prayer only as asking God to give us things. Now, to be sure, God wants us to come to Him with our requests and our petitions. In fact, in the prayer model that Jesus Himself taught His disciples, we do have a request. We have this request. Give us this day. Give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide for all of our bodily needs, so that we may thereby acknowledge that Thou art the only fountain of all good, and that without Thy blessing, neither our care and labor nor Thy gifts can profit us, that we may therefore withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in Thee. Trust you recognize that. The cat number 125 from the Catechism. And then we should also recall how Jesus told His followers that if an earthly father will give good things to a son that asks him, how much more, you see, will the Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask them of Him? Find that teaching in Luke 11, 9 through 13. Of course, sometimes we indeed do ask for bad things rather than good things. And sometimes the things which seem to us to be good are not really the best for us. And praise God, He may be answering our prayer by not giving us what we asked for. So don't assume that your prayers went unanswered. Because He knows best what is good for us. But then while we think of prayer as asking God for things, we do not always remember that we are also to praise God. Give Him adoration. And that too is included in the prayer that Jesus Himself taught us. Hallowed be Thy name. That is, grant us first rightly to know Thee, to hallow, magnify, and praise Thee in all Thy works, in which Thy power, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth shine forth, and further that we so order our whole lives, our thoughts, our words, our deeds, that Thy name may not be blasphemed, but honored and praised on our account. Again, I trust familiar words, 122 from the Catechism. And then finally, for Thine is the kingdom, praise, adoration. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That is, all this we ask of Thee, because as our King, having power over all things, Thou art willing, able to give us all good things, all good, and that thereby not we, but Thy holy name may be glorified. 128 from the Catechism. Our catechism, of course, goes through a detailed explanation of the Lord's Prayer, doesn't it? So, again, the Christian soldier who has been delivered from the slavery of sin by the grace of God and who wears the whole armor that God provides surely must in his prayer include praise and adoration. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is also a part of prayer. Now, a child would be ashamed to ask his parents to give him something today, or a young person, to give him something today, if he had not thanked his parents for the whole boatload of things that he got throughout the week, that had given him, or even given him the day before. How much more, beloved, how much more should we be thanking God, our Heavenly Father, for His gifts? And so Paul reminds us in his letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Praise and thanksgiving. You know, and if recounting his blessings, and they are numerous, I'm often reminded of that little song, Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One. Count Your Many Blessings, See What God Has Done. But if recounting all the blessings somehow leaves you still ungrateful, try counting all the sins for which He's forgiven you. Yeah, try it. And if that still leaves you unthankful, God have mercy. Yes, that too is to be part of prayer. Thanksgiving. And we must also remember in prayer to confess. To confess to God our sins and ask Him to forgive us. Sometimes it'll take the form of pleading. And Jesus, again, in the same prayer, teaches this. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. That is, be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood not to impute to us miserable sinners our manifold transgressions, nor the evil which always cleaves to us, as we also find this witness of thy grace in us, that it is our full purpose heartily to forgive our neighbor. Heidelberg Catechism 126. Well, so I trust you see that prayer, true prayer to God, is full of variety, as it should be. As Christian soldiers, we fight a different battle every day, and thus our prayer is going to be different as well, I would think. There are always new sins. There are always new temptations to be overcome, and there are always more things for which to be thankful. And so, you know, capping it or summarizing, we see that true prayer is adoration or praise, confession, thanksgiving, supplication or asking. Now, I changed the wording around just a little bit so I could give you the little manic acts. Probably missed it. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Remember what's to be included in prayer. Remember that little word, acts, A-C-T-S. Usually it's taught to catechumens or taught in Sunday school, I trust. Now you know it. Acts. Okay? And that tells you then the particular parts of prayer as we've been outlining them. And the Christian soldier's prayer is also particular. We read in our text, the Christian soldier is to pray with all supplication. That means asking God for just those things that are needed to fight the good fight of faith. If we need purity of mind to get rid of those nasty, unclean thoughts, we should pray to God for that. If we let worry drive us to despair, we should pray for the strength to overcome worry. Remembering again the words of the Apostle Paul, Philippians 4:6, be anxious about nothing, but in everything, and by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Be anxious, don't worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Yes, we should pray for specific things we need. The Christian's prayer, the Christian soldier's prayer, should also be constant. Paul says that the Christian soldier is to be praying always. Always. Now, does that mean that Paul expects us to spend the whole day on our knees in prayer? No, don't be ridiculous. Even though all of us could indeed spend more time than we do in prayer. The kind of prayer that Paul is talking about is the consciousness that we live constantly, always in the presence of God. And that we commune with Him. That we ask Him to help us and to bless us throughout the day in all that we do. And when we forget to pray, you know, throughout the day, to pray and meditate upon His precepts, Satan can defeat us when we forget to pray silently. There's an old hymn by Francis Havergal, and it's not in our hymn book, and I for the life of me can't figure out why it's not there. But anyway, an old hymn that captures this need well, this meaning always in a spirit of prayer. It says, prayer is the soul's sincere desire, unuttered or expressed. The motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast. Prayer is the burden of a sigh, the falling of a tear, the upward glancing of the eye when none but God is near. Prayer is the Christian's vital breath, his native air, his watchword at the gates of death. For he enters heaven with prayer. The title of that song is Prayer is the Soul's Sincere Desire. We have a number of songs by Francis Havergal in our hymn book, but that one is not there. Well, now, does all that I've said thus far mean that we can pray in our own power? Well, now, I guess there's a sense in which maybe we pray in our own spirit, as Paul means in 1 Corinthians 14:14-15, where we read, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with understanding. I will sing with the spirit, I will also sing with the understanding." So, in the sense that we pray in our own spirit, the intent is that we do so not only with the mouth, but with our hearts as well. The prophet Isaiah, remember Isaiah warns, "For as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, but with their lips do not honor me, they've removed their heart far from me." Isaiah 29:13. But the main sense of Scripture is that we pray in the Holy Spirit. Our prayers are controlled by the Holy Spirit. As we read in, for instance, Jude 20. "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in..." or "building yourselves upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." And this is also, of course, this is also the main sense of our text. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. God the Holy Spirit makes us able to pray. When the Holy Spirit is given to us, we're given a new life in Christ. And so that our desire is to pray. And the Spirit helps us to pray. God Himself is our teacher in prayer. When we pray to God, we enter the gates of heaven and stand boldly before God's throne. All possible through the work of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Again, Paul plainly teaches us in Romans 8, where we read these words, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption." By whom? The Spirit of adoption, that's the Holy Spirit. By whom we cry out, "Abba, Father." Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. We do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings and utterances. Now He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, in other words, we often do not know how we ought to pray or what it is right to pray for. But even through our inarticulate groanings and our agonizing longings, desires, the Spirit Himself pleads for us in God's presence. God, who searches our inmost being, knows what the Spirit means, because it's the Spirit that pleads for God's own people in God's own way. And so God sent His Holy Spirit to teach us, to help us how to pray. And the Holy Spirit helps us to pray according then to God's revealed will. That will that's revealed in His Word. And what a comforting thing it is when we are struggling in prayer to know God the Holy Spirit is there. And we can depend upon Him to help us. Praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Next, the Christian soldier is to pray, according to our text, with all perseverance. Now, perseverance means to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. We are to keep on praying even to the point of wearying God. You know, in fact, that's what God desires. Trust you remember that Jesus told a parable about this. I refer you to Luke 18, first 7 verses. And Jesus spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray, not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge who feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. The Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? We are to pray with all perseverance. It has been said that the perseverance in prayer moves the hand that moves the world to bring salvation down. Maybe that prayer brought salvation to that unjust judge. Who knows? And then the Christian soldier is to make supplication for all saints. This means that he prays for his comrades in battle, as well as for himself. Our battle against sin, or against Satan, it's not a private one. It's not a private duel. We have fellow comrades in arms against the evil one. Think about that. The Lord has His army. And to be a good soldier, we must seek the help of other soldiers as well as ourselves. You know, if a soldier saw one of his buddies come out of the foxhole under fire, do you think he would nudge his fellow soldier next to him or and whisper, hey, look at Private Jones. Boy, is he going to get it. Of course not. Any soldier worth the name would call out to Jones, "Hey, get back! Get back! You'll get killed." But you know, sometimes Christian soldiers behave kind of that way. They see a fellow Christian falling into temptation, exposing himself or herself to the fiery darts of the wicked one, and instead of being concerned about it, they whisper, they may gossip, they may snicker. And it almost appears that they're glad when they see that comrade fall. Along with the attitude, "Well, he always thought he was too good anyway. Look at him now." Beloved, when a Christian acts that way, it's a sure sign that he has fallen himself, perhaps more seriously than the one that's being ridiculed. So we are to be praying. We are to be constantly praying for one another. Finally, after telling the Ephesians to pray for one another, to pray for all the saints, Paul adds, "And for me." And for me. Beloved, we do indeed have to remember to pray. To pray for our spiritual leaders and officers, our pastors, our missionaries, our elders, our deacons, for those who have the rule over us and watch or are concerned for our souls. 1 Timothy 2:12. Paul wanted the Ephesians to pray for him that he might what? Preach the gospel with boldness. To not be afraid to tell it like it is, that there's none other name given under heaven among men whereby they be saved, except Jesus Christ. That he is the way, the truth, and the life. Paul needed that prayer. How much more do our Christian leaders need it today? How much more do you and I need one another's prayers as fellow Christians? You know, failure to be of such praying, to be praying for those who have the rule over us, is no doubt the reason of the sad state of affairs today, isn't it? The sad state of affairs in the church. And the sad state of affairs in the state, too, for whom we are to pray. Pray for our kings. And perhaps the increase in liberal preachers and liberal apostate churches and godless political leaders, perhaps the reason for that is we failed to pray for such. My beloved, if we learn to pray and keep praying, then our lives will be filled with peace and joy. Paul learned to pray, whether he was out in the mission field, or whether he was in prison in Rome, or in the stocks at Philippi, with his back raw from a beating. He never ceased to thank God with joy, because he was never alone. He always stood in the presence of God through prayer. And so let us indeed ask the Lord to teach us how to pray. For prayer indeed is the constant companion of the Christian soldier. And as you remember the pieces of armor, remember that each piece is to be put on with prayer. And so here again, Paul's admonition. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, help us. Help us to pray. Help us to become prayer warriors.